Talk live with psychics online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Star Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starpsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Okay, welcome everybody. This is StarsCast, also known as Natalie, and we have an exciting chat tonight. I mean, everybody dreams, and they always want to know what dream, but what did that mean? And I was talking earlier with Stars Maya Moon and about the dream that I had, and you know, sometimes you dream about money, and sometimes the things that you dream about, and you can correct me, Maya Moon and James, really are not exactly what the dream was. Like, you can think about money, and it won't really be money coming to you. Have something of value. I guess you have to interpret it that way. But tonight it's going to be about dreams and the interpretations, and anybody can call in with their dreams, and Maya will give you the phone number. I can give it also. You can call it. It's 347-838-9736. And I'm expecting some people tonight because I've already talked to them about calling in with their dreams. And with that, I'm going to give it back to Stars Maya Moon to start the show.
Hi, thanks, Miss Natalie. Well, welcome, everyone. We're really glad to have you. As always, if you've been a follower and been listening, we're glad to have you back. If this is your first time, this is a great topic. As Natalie said, all of us dream. We don't always remember our dreams, but we all do dream. And dreams, I'm very fascinated by dreams. And what I found, and, you know, just so everyone knows that when I share, I'm just sharing what I've come to learn to be true. There are so many different ways in spirituality and in dreams of interpretation. You have some of your more traditional psychological. Last week, our topic, we had talked about some people in that, some pioneers in that area. And Freud, who was a psychiatrist, worked quite a bit with dreams. So there's and within spirituality, there's a lot of different ways of interpreting dreams. I personally feel that there are some universal symbols in our dreams, and that can be applied. When I say universal, I mean that the meaning stays fairly the same, regardless of who is actually dreaming it. But I also do feel that in interpreting dreams, that you have to take into account the path that person is on, and their current state and their future, and that can shed some insight. So to me, what that means is two people could dream of something very similar, but it could have very different meanings depending on the person. And what I'm going to start out with is saying that, and this is a 90-minute show, and so it is a little bit longer, and I also want to let everyone know that the chat room is open and how much we appreciate. They're very supportive, and we're supportive of them. And so if you are interested in a reading or you would like a question answered, you can visit. I know Stars Priestess Candy is there. She's always there. She does so much for Stars, for everyone. And there's other experts there as well. I just don't know exactly who. But from what I take on dreams, I believe that there's basically three different types of dreams. And one type, which I feel is the less common of the three, would be precognitive dreams. And I feel that a lot of us dream of events that seem to be future events but they're not really precognitive. They may seem that way. That is, to me, I don't find that that's a very common occurrence. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's just not very common. The most common that I feel that we dream about our dreams is about our lessons, our path, where we're going, what I believe that our guides, our angels, our higher self, whatever term you're comfortable with using or how you've come to know it, they're teaching us while we sleep. And our dreams are a part of it because we're in a very relaxed state. We're not busy. We're not working. We're not taking care of kids. We're not running around. So we're in a much higher state, and we're able to absorb. And even if we don't necessarily recall the dream, the lesson will somehow be imparted to us, and we learn. So that, to me, is the most, and within that, in the lessons, is also sometimes just replays of our life, what's going on, what's bothering us. And oftentimes, if we don't maybe deal with something, a topic or a subject or an area of our life, we'll find that the dream becomes repetitive, or that certain bits and pieces are repetitive. Some of the scenarios change. And then the other thing that I believe people dream a lot more than what they may realize is past life dreams. And we'll get into the details of what I feel would be a way to recognize or to evaluate or to put it into these boxes. And that's not to say, again, that those are the only types of dreams we have, but those are to me, the three top ones, is the precognitive, the lessons or learning or guidance or reminders, and then the past lives. And the other thing I just want to mention quickly, and I'm going to turn it over to James, is that dreams are extremely symbolic, and we often can be reflected. So dreams are not necessarily, they're not literal. For example, a common theme or a common dream is the cheating spouse, the cheating partner, however you want to put it. That seems to be a common dream, but that is not necessarily a literal dream. It can have a myriad of meanings, and again, I feel that to a certain extent, it's universal, but to a certain extent, it can depend on the relationship and where the people are going. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Mr. James.
Thank you, Maya. And I just want to welcome everyone to the show. I also want to give out the phone number again. It is, and you can call in if you have a dream that you want interpreted. Now, we're doing kind of like shorter interpretations, so if there's a theme that seems to be showing up in your dreams, that's kind of what we're taking a look at today. Or, you know, of course, if you have a short dream, we would gladly take a look at that as well. But the number that you can call in is 347-838-9736. Now, it will not prompt you to press 1, but if you want to talk to the host, if you actually have something you'd like to share with us, please press 1 to get to Natalie, and then when we have a gap available, we'll make sure we get to your call. So that's the number that you can use to call in. Again, I want to, of course, Candy's in the room. I'm in the room as well. I'm not doing mini readings in the room, but Candy is available doing mini readings, and I just want to say thank you to Candy for being there. And she's always like the faithful one. She's always there. It's awesome. We so appreciate you and the work that you do. So, yeah, I mean, I really agree with, you know, your perspectives on dreams, and you're right. There is so many different, like, ways that we can categorize dreams. Your categories are a bit different than mine, although even looking at both types of categories, I think that, you know, they certainly mesh well together. I would say that, you know, you had mentioned three types of common – well, you said precog is actually quite uncommon, which I agree with you. I have not had very many. I don't have a lot of clients that have them. So I do believe that is a more uncommon type of dream. The path and life lessons, I mean, I think that, you know, in terms of how I would explain that, I call those healing dreams. And I think that really it's just the same way of expressing, or you know, two different ways of expressing the same thing. It's about, you know, bringing our lives into balance and bringing our lives into order and helping us understand where we're at in life and where we're going. That's kind of how I would say it more. But I use a lot of healing language, because in my earlier days, I studied Reiki and I became a Reiki master, and that just kind of tends to follow you after a while. And then past life dreams, absolutely, I totally agree with that as well, and that does come up frequently. One category that I would probably put in there that I think is important for people to understand is there are dreams that we have also that are just associated with what we're putting into our system. I've worked with some clients who have had recurring nightmares. And, when I asked Spirit about it, the message that I got for them was it's associated with what you're taking into your body. And sometimes it's associated with food. Food has an impact on what we dream. And sometimes it is associated with television. If somebody is addicted to negative news on the TV or horror movies, things of that nature, do have an impact on our restfulness at night. What happens, I think that we could probably even put that category into the path and lessons category, because what happens is and this is from my personal perspective, what Spirit has shared with me is when we have dreams associated with what we've been putting into our minds and in our bodies, it's to try, or our subconscious is trying to make sense of it or bring it back into balance associated with our particular situation. And so that's why those types of things can come up as recurring nightmares and things of that nature. Now, in terms of the language of dreams, give me just a second. I need to take a drink of water. In terms of the language of dreams, I simply believe that dreams are the language of the subconscious. And, of course, you know, they can certainly be profoundly spiritual. They can be psychological as well. And I think we've kind of discussed both of those. And that's because our subconscious is still connected to our spiritual mind or our higher self, what, you know, many traditions refer to as, you know, the Holy Spirit or prana or that life energy that exists within us. And that's, again, my personal perspective on it. Although I don't believe that all dreams are spiritual, I do believe that all dreams are significant. For instance, they can have psychic implications without having psychological implications. They can have psychological implications without having psychic implications, or they can be a mixture of both. And of course, you already mentioned this, that the language of dreams is symbolic. And there is, you know, I like what you said. There are qualities to dreams, and there are trends within dreams that I agree that are very universal, or they can have a universal meaning. They can also have deeper meanings as well. But, you know, one thing that I have recommended to people that I've counseled related to their dreams is, you know, it's great to look up things online and, you know, what something can mean, talk to. I mean, we have several psychic advisors that are able to assist people in interpreting dreams. I mean, there's many resources out there to help you. And, I think that if you're looking for maybe a deeper meaning or a deeper quality, if you've went through the books, by the way, I did list one book that was really good for me when I was first starting out, The Ultimate Dream Dictionary, or The Ultimate Dictionary of Dream Language, I think is what it's called. Let me look it up. Yeah. Priscinda Ryan. That was a really good one starting out. Now, to me, I feel as though the language of dreams is also very personal. Even though it can be archetypal and follow a universal pattern, I also believe it can be very personal, which is why sometimes, you know, if you're using things like dream journals and you're writing down your dreams, you have, you know, maybe a dream dictionary and you're still not really getting anything, sometimes the best thing to do is, you know, well, of course, ask for help. I mean, that's always a suggestion as well. I always ask my angels or the Holy Spirit to help me in interpreting what, you know, is going on in my dreams. But that's why we're online as psychic advisors as well. And I don't, you know, I want you to know that there are other resources out there as well. And you said, you'd mentioned, I have in my notes, universal quality. And those are, it's interesting because we were just talking about synchronicity last week and archetypes, the archetypes associated with synchronicity are actually, Carl Jung is actually the, you know, the person who talked a lot about archetypes. Now, his version of archetypes and then dream language, there is some parallel, but I think that there are also several universal specifics with dreams, things like, you know, if water occurs in dreams, that usually has a very specific meaning. Food oftentimes has a very specific meaning. Those aren't really covered in the archetypes because the archetypes are normally personality traits. So that's not something that I don't think Carl Jung ever write about archetypes in terms of physical objects or just personality traits? Or
no.
Don't you know? I honestly don't know.
I don't know if you're asking me.
I was asking you. Have you read anything? I just haven't read anything about that in any of, you know, any of the things that I've read about him.
Well, when you study him, he does a little bit of that, but I would attribute that more to Freud.
Freud
was
right.
Very, very intent on putting a lot of meaning into inanimate objects.
Right.
And
right.
He, in fact, I mean, it's, I know the discussion isn't really about that, but
right.
he went quite overboard to the point where he even had, I mean, some of his writings, not all of them are published as far as, you know, you can go to the library or go online and buy it. Some of them are just used for teaching purposes. But he even went so far as to go to great lengths with explaining the meaning of different flowers in dreams, which to me was just a little bit, I found that to be just maybe a little bit over the top with
yeah.
some of that. But, you know, Jung, he did a little bit of that, but it was more in the sense of, you know, I think it was very, he just briefly touched on a few things. It was more what you're talking about, the archetypes and personality traits and our emotions and our combined with our cognitive realities and our perception. He was very big on our worldview versus our self-view and whether that was a match or whatever. So, yeah, I don't think that Jung was really big on objects or that
right.
when
I
he
didn't
did
think
his,
so. I think it, I, you know, I kind of considered, and I was just referencing it for the purpose of the universal language. I mean, because archetypes, the whole concept of archetypes represents the universal language, the thing that, you know, the way in which all humanity understands certain things. And so, you know, and again, I when it comes to particular, I do believe some things have a very universal meaning, but not always. You know, it really depends on what the other circumstances are in the dreams, where the person's coming from. There are variables that can, at least from my perspective, influence those universal meanings. I think that it is useful to have those, to have a dictionary of dreams and things of that nature. But you know, I do, because it is the language of the subconscious mind and oftentimes the spiritual mind, I feel as though it can also be very personal. I don't know if that makes sense to say it that way, but you know, the specific meaning behind an event or a symbol that shows up in a dream can be very personal. related to a person's own viewpoint on a particular situation. So with that, I'll go ahead and pass it over back to you.
Okay. Well, I agree with James as far as that, dreams are, for the most part, messages. And I do believe that to a point that sometimes that what we're doing, like James mentioned, watching violent movies or sad movies. One thing, too, that I want to bring up, even though medication, it's kind of one of those 50, catch-22s. Many of us require medications for a variety of conditions, and so in no way am I, suggesting that we shouldn't take medicine prescribed by our physicians. However, one of the side effects of a lot of medications that are popular today and used for a variety, again, of, illnesses, syndromes, medical conditions, they do affect our dream state. And our dream state is during our REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement. That's when we are in the deepest state and we usually have dreams. And a couple things that I wanted to mention. There are some anomalies that are associated with sleep and dreams and can be very frightening. And one that I wanted us to talk about, and I'm just going to briefly touch on it, and that's sleep paralysis. And there's a reason for that. Although it can become a problem, and then sleep apnea is people who snore and stop breathing. But when it comes to dreams, when we're in a dream state, we are, in our mind, we are acting out, if you've ever had a really vivid, and almost all of us can say, even if we don't remember all of our dreams, we can remember or recall at least a few dreams where they were active dreams, which most dreams are. So that state of paralysis, that takes place so that even though we have like sleepwalkers and people that really will get out of bed and act out or do things in their sleep, that paralysis is in place. It's kind of a self-protection so that we don't, I don't know if anyone has any stories to share, but I know that I've punched somebody before in my sleep, and it was a dream, and for whatever reason, that sleep paralysis wasn't strong enough to keep me from hitting somebody, which, the dream was not associated with the person. So sleep paralysis is just a way of our body protecting us from physically acting out what we're dreaming about. But for some people, they start to awaken, and so their consciousness or subconscious starts to rise to a more wakeful state, but the paralysis has not yet completely worn off. So it's kind of like if you imagine coming out of anesthesia, if you've ever had any work done, any dental work or any minor surgeries or major surgeries, and it can be a very frightening experience, but it's actually somewhat normal. I mean, there can be, like I said, there can be some anomalies when it comes to sleep. So there are things that we do, what we watch, the kind of day that we've had, the medications that we're taking. There's a lot of different things in our environment or external that we take and put internally into our bodies, whether that's psychological by watching something or taking something that I do feel that can affect our dreams. And I advise everyone, especially people that are perplexed or that have very vivid dreams and seem to dream, some people seem to dream more than others. Now, whether that's a matter of just they have a better recall of their dreams or not, I would suggest that everyone keeps a dream journal. If you wake up from a dream, you shouldn't say, oh, well, I'll remember this in the morning, because 9 times out of 10, you won't remember it. You may have a vague feeling. I know a lot of times, and this has happened to me personally as well, clients or people will say, I had a dream, I remember just a couple parts, but I just can't shake this. I have this weird feeling, and anytime we have some type of feeling, but we are not able, the cause of which seems unknown or uncertain, it can cause us to feel frightened or threatened. So I would suggest that you keep a dream journal by your bedside. If you wake up from a dream, try to write down as much as you can. And then if you wake up in the morning, you should, the same thing, you should write down your dream, or at least the parts that you can remember, or whatever seems to stand out in your mind, write it down. Because as we go throughout the day, it seems some dreams stay with us, but there's a lot of dreams that can be just as significant as those that we don't remember as those that we do. And I agree, especially for people that are experiencing repetitive dreams. I know that some people have had, again, there's certain elements in the dream that are repetitive, and then there's certain variables. But there's some emotion or something about the dream that is repeated over and over again. And some people dream this for years, from the time they were young and into adulthood. And so in that case, if you can't find what you're looking for, like James suggested the book, I'm familiar with that. I think it's a great resource. You can look online. Online, it's really, I mean, it's fascinating, but there's a lot of different ways of looking at it, which is good because it gives you an opportunity to do some research on your particular theme. Like, let's say, for example, you're dreaming about frogs. And if you look online or look at different resources, different books, you'll find that there's probably 10 different interpretations of what that means. So it does a lot of times come down to part of it being that universal symbol of some type, whatever resonates with you. But it also has some attachment to, I believe, to our life and where we're going, where we've been, what we're working to accomplish. And I feel like a lot of ground can be covered at night while we sleep. Again, even if we don't remember it all. And the other thing that I would suggest too is that if you are dreaming of something, even if the dreams are different, the nature of the dreams are different, but any time we're disturbed by a dream or the feeling again sticks with us, or we seem puzzled or we just don't really understand, ask for clarity before you go to sleep. Say, you know, I recognize that I'm having these dreams and I'm paying attention, but I'm unclear, I'm unsure what the meaning is. And oftentimes we will receive clarity within the next few nights in the form of a dream, or if not recalling that, we will awaken with a sense of peace and resolution. So whatever that dream, whatever that message, or whatever that was trying to relay to us has been, we've absorbed it, we have been able to, you know, make peace with it, so to speak. And if that doesn't work, then I really do suggest that you seek, like James mentioned, there's many experts on stars that are excellent with dream interpretation, and they can certainly assist you with helping you resolve the dreams. Because I found with clients, dreams can be a very unsettling part of life. And most of your average person that has not done a lot of research on dreams and dream interpretation and meanings can be completely misled by the dream itself, because humans tend to take everything as very literal. And I find in dreams it's not literal, it's almost always not literal, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So we can't take it, again, you know, just using the cheating spouse. Oftentimes it has absolutely nothing to do with that, but it would take an expert to work with you to help you get to what that dream means for you and what is what I would call that something is not resolved or there's something that needs to be accomplished or done or achieved or intended, which is why the dream is disturbing. And some of us have some wonderful, amazing dreams that, you know, I mean, we can't wait to go to sleep to see where we're going to visit and what we're going to do. And that brings us to a whole another phase. Many people travel, they do astral projection and all that during their sleep. I wouldn't necessarily call that a dream, however. I would call that an encounter or an experience. So with that, I'll turn it over to James to see what his thoughts are and what else he wants to share on dreams.
Yeah, I liked the last thing that you brought up. Lucid dreaming is something that I personally have kind of ventured into here and there. It's something that if you don't practice, though, because I got to a point where it seemed like it was very natural for me to do it, the lucid dreaming, astral projection type of thing. But then I noticed that when I was doing that frequently, when I would go to bed with a specific meditation to keep me focused on where my subconscious was going, I oftentimes woke up very restless. And I don't know if that was because of the lucid dreaming or just because of what was going on in, you know, during that time in my life. But lucid dreaming and astral projection, those types of things are really very interesting things if you're interested in that sort of thing. There's lots of information online about them, and they're very, I don't know, I had fun with it, and it is something that I think I would probably, you know, venture into again, depending on my own circumstances. I want to go back to where you were talking about the dream journal. Because I think that's a brilliant idea. I've recommended that for years. I mean, people, one thing that I want to touch on really quick, because there may be people out there that are just saying, I don't dream. And that's something I hear a lot. And I know we started out the show and we said, everybody dreams. And I understand where you're coming from if you say that you don't dream. One thing that I have noticed is that if I have a dream journal next to my bed, I dream. So I remember something. And one of the things is that's so interesting about actually having a practice, and I've had a practice for years, but having a practice of writing down in a journal. Actually, I don't have a specific dream journal. I just have a journal that I carry with me from station to station in my life. When you write one thing down, it's interesting. It's almost like your brain starts organizing what you were dreaming about, and you're able to get stuff that happened behind it, you know, stuff that happened in the quote-unquote past in the dream and something that happened in the quote-unquote future in the dream. And once you start getting those details one at a time, it's interesting that they just start flowing very, very freely and very rapidly. It's almost like when you plug your zip drive into the computer, it's just this little drive, but then you can open up all these programs inside of it. That's kind of what happens, is that it's unzipping or giving you all of the information. I mean, have you found that to be true with dream journaling?
Yes, yes, I absolutely agree. And everyone dreams. I don't feel that everyone dreams as often or as vividly as others, but we all, I mean, that's scientific. I mean,
right.
That they discovered that quite some time ago when they began the sleep studies, which is, you know, a little bit more than 50 years ago this was first discovered and studied. So it's a fallacy to say that I don't dream. What you're saying, James, and I totally agree with you, is you don't recall. And yes, that is definitely true, that
yeah.
Once you write and you start jogging your memory, if you do it right at that moment, you will be surprised with all of a sudden, it's just like all these flashbacks start to appear. And as you said, I believe that's absolutely true. And that's a really, it's funny, but it's actually a really good point. If you have that journal there and you have that intention to write it down and you don't put it off, and I think the biggest mistake people make is they wake up after a dream, and because the dream was at that moment so vivid or so lucid or so, whether it was unsettling or frightening, and they think, oh, there's no way I can forget this. If you don't write it down, my feeling is, if you don't write it down right after you dreamt it, if you wake up from a dream, you no matter how much you think you're going to remember it the next morning, chances are very good that you will not. You may carry that, again, you may carry that feeling something isn't quite right, or you may say to yourself, I dreamt something last night, and I've done that when I haven't written it down. You know, I've said, I know I dreamt something. It's like at the just at the tip of my brain, the memory of it, but I just can't pull it out. Well, if I would have written it down, even just the little bits that I started to remember, yes, it's like the floodgates open, and pretty soon we can remember. And once, what I think is interesting, and let's see if you agree with that, I believe that once we unlock that little lock and we write down and we start the memory, the recall of that dream, then I believe that simply by writing it down, the next morning, our recall of that dream, although we have our journal to go back to, if we don't, I actually believe that the memory then is, for some reason, it's just like stamped or imprinted on our conscience, just because we've taken the time to write it down. There's something about writing is powerful. So do you believe that to be true?
I totally agree. And what I will tell you about, and this may not work for everyone, I'm just letting you know this is how I do it. But one of the things that I do is I don't like journaling in the middle of the night if I wake up. So what I will do, since I have my journal right there, is I will write down the key thoughts. So instead of writing down sentences, I will write down words of maybe who was in the dream, what was taking place, but I don't write it down in any coherent way.
Right.
So, and I will be honest, sometimes I wake up and I go, I have no idea what that was. But for the most part, I have very good recall just in the morning, just by me writing down those few details of the dream. Because I like to sleep. I mean, I like to sleep all the way through. I feel, you know, and that's just a personal thing with me. But I have found if you're just able to jot down maybe 6 or 7 key points from it, usually everything comes back. And it's very rare for me when I go, now, what was that all about? And so I did want to point that out. And I don't know if you've had experience doing that or if you just sit and write down the whole dream if you wake up in the middle of the night.
No, because, I mean, if I were to wake up to that extent of, you know, taking a half an hour, I would find my sleep was disrupted, and I would have a difficult time falling back asleep. So I would write down. And the other thing that I've recommended is, and unfortunately, I don't really know what they're called. They're tape recorders, but they're very small, little handheld. A lot of times if you visited a doctor, they use that. And they, rather than writing, they take notes. They just press their little recorder and say, okay, patient so-and-so is here, and they look, everything's good, scheduled for surgery. They're just little handheld devices that you just press and record. So I've recommended to people who tell me that when they've tried the journaling, that becomes a problem for them, that they, you know, even just writing the key points, which I think is all that we need to do, especially if we're talking about the middle of the night or, you know, somewhere way before we're going to be rising for the day. So if writing is something that causes you to turn on the light and, you know, you feel that it awakens you to the point where you then have trouble getting back to sleep, keep one of those little handheld recorders and just record just a few things that you remember. I remember I was running through a field. There was someone chasing me, but then I turned and realized they were actually trying to help me. They weren't chasing me to try to cause me harm. They were actually trying to get my attention. So sometimes for some people, just talking causes a lot less disturbance to the rest of their night and sleep, because the whole idea is you don't want to disturb the rest of your night's sleep. And a lot of times, too, I found that I dream in sequences. I can have the first part of a dream and wake up or get up, or it seems like there's a break and the dream gets finished later on, or even sometimes the next day, it's like the second part, like the other half. I don't know, have you ever experienced that, James? Like sequential dreaming?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially when I think that happens a lot when I'm, when I'm getting ready for the day or whatever.
Okay, so you've had dreams where you've dreamt one part of it, but there's a continuing part.
I apologize. I misunderstood what you said, and it just clicked with me. Yes, that has happened. What I was saying is I've had times when I've written down part of a dream, and then later on that day, it was like, even though I thought that was it, later on that day, it usually happens if I'm meditating or in the shower or something, like that, where the rest of the dream comes in. And I apologize, I misunderstood you. And I was actually, and part of the reason why is because I was a little distracted. I was looking up my dream app on my iPad because I do use this pretty frequently. So, but go ahead. I apologize that I wasn't paying complete attention to what you were saying.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just wondered if you had ever experienced what I would call dreaming in sequence, meaning that one night you dream part one and it seems like the next night it's a continuation of the same dream. It's like another part of that, if that's something that's occurred with you, or if you feel that they're all very separated or...
Not at all. No, I have had series where, now they may not be the same, like seem to be the same storyline, my experience anyway, but they have the same theme. Or when I go and I'm writing them down and Spirit is giving me the interpretation for them, they have the exact same interpretation, even though, does that make sense? I mean, I've had sequential dreams like that. But maybe the symbology isn't quite the same every single time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. And we all dream differently. And then we also have to keep in mind that no matter whether we're journaling or using a tape recorder, and now with some of these phones, I mean, you can literally record things. Like you mentioned, you have an app, a dream app. I know that there's a lot of these newer phones that even have the ability to record short. I mean, I don't have one that does that, or at least I haven't found or figured out where it is if it does. But
I definitely wanted to give this particular resource, and you actually it made me think of it. I don't put all of my dreams into this. And the main reason why is because I write in a journal and then I have to go and type all the dreams out. But if I have a dream that has, a lot of symbolism in it, I will put it into this app, and it's on, and I think you can get it online, and I think you can also get it through, I have it through Apple, the iTunes store. It's called Dream Moods. And when you type in your dream, when you put your dream in their journal, it will give you the common symbolic meanings for keywords in your dreams.
Okay.
It will just put all of the words. For instance, I just looked it up, my last dream that I had on here, which was actually June 2nd, so obviously I don't use this every day. But, I put down all of the whole dream that I had, and it has a list of symbols: teacher, niece, forgetting, play, late, cold, red, blue, yellow. I dream in color, apparently. But anyway, it has those things within, you just click on the keyword from your dream, and it will give you a meaning. What I have experienced with this particular app is it's not always like it's I don't always agree with their meanings, but that's okay. You have to kind of figure out your own symbolism, I guess, is the best way to put that. That you know, yes, there is a dynamic of universal symbolism, but symbolism is also very personal as well. So,
yes, I would agree that it's very, that it can be very, it can be very individual. So, and I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the ways to identify the differences. Are you ready to move into that?
Sure.
Oh, okay. So I would like to start with precog. And just as a reminder, if you'd like to call in, we don't have a lot of time to spend, but we can do a quick rundown of what we feel that your dream, what the meaning behind it is, or give you a little bit of guidance. And the number, again, to call in is 347-838-9736. So first I wanted to touch on precognitive. And again, I want to remind everyone that this is what I've come to believe to be true. That's not necessarily the all-end truth. There's many different ways. I have people that I'm very close to that completely disagree with this. So this is, I'm just sharing what I've come to feel to be true. So precognitive dreams. Precognitive dreams are dreams that we have, and I do not experience those. If I do, they are so symbolic that by the time I figure them out, I'm not even sure if it's happened or if it has. They're deeply symbolic for me, but I wouldn't say that that's true universally. In a precognitive dream, they're very uncommon. And one thing that I have found, again, to be true, is that in a precognitive dream, for example, let's say that someone dreams that their child or their mother or their father is going to become gravely ill or be in an accident. One of the ways that I feel we can decipher a precognitive dream from another type of dream is actually in a precognitive dream where we're dreaming about a future event, whether it's a world event or a personal event, there's absolutely no emotion attached. It's like we are watching a movie and we're completely unaffected. Most of us, when we're watching a movie, unless we're like, this is the stupidest movie I've ever seen in my life, most of us, if we're watching a touching movie, we feel some emotion. If we're watching a funny movie, we're going to laugh or giggle. But what I found to be true is that really precognitive dreams that are dreams of the future, there is no emotion involved. We don't have any emotion. So that's one way that I rule out if I have a dream or if I have a client that has a dream about something, some type of tragic or traumatic or horrible event about to happen, is one of the first things I ask them is what did you feel in the dream? Not what do you feel now, because you may wake and the emotion may be there, but what did you feel during the dream? Did you feel emotionally invested? Were you crying, saying, oh no, my mom's going to get sick, or oh no, this is going to happen? And that's how I decipher that. As far as lessons, those are so common, and there's so many variables that it would be really difficult to give a set of, you know, parameters to say what that is, because that's the most common and the most frequent. And I think we even dream about small little issues, even to the fact, let's say that you're preparing. We here in the U.S., we have the 4th of July holiday coming up. And let's say that you're having a barbecue. So you could have a dream that it would be a very complicated, complex, intricate dream. And really all it is just a little bit of stress of wanting to make sure that you're plans or your get-together with family goes well. So there's just so many things that encompass our dreaming and working through issues and dealing with our stress, working out our life problems, past lives. I believe that those dreams are much more common than we might realize. And one of the ways that I recognize that this may be a past life dream and is the person will tell me, they'll say, well, I was with my significant other or they were with a close friend. Usually it involves some significant other, it usually, not always, but usually, or someone that's very close to them. And they'll say, but the face, I didn't recognize the face. It wasn't my husband or my wife or my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whomever. It wasn't that person who I'm with. It was somebody that their face, their external looks or their physical looks were completely foreign to me. It wasn't a movie star. It wasn't somebody else's face. It was just unknown to me. And the surroundings seemed unfamiliar in terms of it's not a place that I'm familiar with in today's world that I know. It isn't my friend's house. It didn't look like the house I just went to yesterday. But there, it's as if it's familiar and they recognize it. Now, past life dreams, one thing I've found that can be sometimes misleading, and again, this is just what I believe, is that we would assume that if we're dreaming about a past life, if we're 50 years old, then we know that we couldn't have lived for 50 years because we've been here. So logically, we would assume that in a dream, if it was a past life dream, that we would be dressed in a way that is indicative of that era or that time. I don't find that that's always true. And I'm really not sure why, other than maybe it's just one of those mysteries of life, or maybe it's because that's not really the important part. That's not the aspect. To me, the telling sign is when we're with people or we're in something that is not known to us in this present life, and I know I'm probably sound confusing. We don't recognize it as a place we know in this life, but yet even though it's foreign to us, there's a strong feeling of familiarity. And we know, for example, I've had that dream where I know that that's my husband, but yet his face is the face of a stranger. But somehow, or the town that I'm in is not a town that I've ever been in, and I've traveled extensively within the U.S., but yet I have this feeling of it's familiar. I know that I've been here before. I know that I know this town. So that's how I kind of, that's one of the first things that if I'm working with a client or I'm working out my own dream, that's one of the first things, line of questioning, if you will, or one of the first things that I might go through to ascertain, first of all, what type of a dream is this? Let's begin there. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, James, if you even bother with any of that, or you just go into the dream and kind of go from there, or
go ahead. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I am going to answer your question. I just want to let everyone know that, you know, we are still available if you want to call in. The number is, and I know we had Susan on the phone. Susan was calling in, and we got disconnected with Susan. So, Susan, you can still call in. The number is 347-838-9736. And one thing I want to make sure that you understand is it will not prompt you to press anything. Please press 1 if you want to get in with the host of the show, which is Natalie. So I wanted to put that out there. And then, I don't spend a lot of time on what type of dream. I mean, I really classify dreams a little bit differently when I'm doing dream interpretation, which isn't a bad thing. I would call a past life dream a healing dream. I would probably classify it as that and then deal with the, if there's symbolism or there's underlining meaning, I would deal with that as I move forward with the dream. Precog, I don't, you know, it's interesting. I just don't have a lot of experience with that. You know, I feel as though, you know, it makes sense that there would be a lack of emotion. I have not had a lot of clients come to me with this type of, with that type of a dream. My own personal experience, I'm trying to think if I've even had one. You know, it's interesting because I personally have had one that I can think of. And the interesting thing about my one is that there was emotion attached to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it was, you know, in terms of a precog experience, it was letting me know about something that was going to happen that had a very strong emotional impact on me. And so when getting that dream, it was almost like a way for me to process the emotion without it all falling on me at one time. And does that make sense?
Yes. Now, was the emotion during the dream or after, or?
I think that the emotion was after. I'm not certain that it was during. And you have to understand this, the only one that I can remember is 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. So it's been a while, you know. I don't have a lot of really clear memory about what happened around it. I just know that's the only one that I can remember. And again, it's very rare that I will have a client come in with a precog dream. I will have clients that come in that have dreams that have significant meaning for the future, but a lot of times those are also to bring them back into alignment and healing and that sort of thing. And like again, the way that the different categories that I usually use when I'm doing dream interpretation is I don't really use precog that much. I use, you know, is it a healing dream or is it a psychological, a psychic, or is it associated with things that you are putting into your situation? So is your subconscious trying to process things that you're dealing with right now, that are actual things that you're going through right now or that you've went through in the past?
Okay, I need to interrupt. We have a caller.
Hey.
So this is Susan. I've known Susan a really long time, and she's from out in California, and I'm going to connect her. She has a question for the two of you, so hold on. Okay, Susan, go ahead. You've got Stars Maya Moon and Stars James.
Hi, James and Maya Moon. Hello. I have a couple of questions. One is, I'm pretty sure I had a past life dream, but it was as a child at 4. And normally you don't remember being shot out a window. And the other one is, does anybody ever remember waking up to music? As in a message through, you know, a song you've known for most of your life.
Well, I'll start by saying that music, I have music in my dreams all the time, and often I will, so the answer is yes. I think
Okay. Music,
for some of us, I always say music is to be felt, not just heard. So yes, that is not uncommon, Susan. And I'll let James answer and see what his take on that is.
Absolutely. Music is one of the ways that spirit speaks to me often. Even so much as, like, you know, I get those, turn on the radio and the exact song that I need to hear at the exact moment is on. So, yeah, I mean, that happens to me in dreams as well. Absolutely. And I think that that's a very valid way for spirit to communicate to us. Can I ask you about your dream really quick?
The one when I was a child?
Yeah. You were a child when you had the dream?
Yes, and it's when I happen to only can remember like a segment.
Okay, sure. What is this? Can you describe it as best as you can?
I'm in a room. I am speaking German. I know I'm part of a group that's trying to kill Hitler. And they burst through the door, and I see a flash, and I go out a window. And I have on my body a perfect circle, as if a bullet hole. And I've had it my whole life. And the dream, it's just, I remember having it about four.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that that is a past life dream. What are your thoughts, Maya?
Yeah, I would say that that definitely. I mean, that's, I would say that that's, that one is extremely clear. It's, I mean, it's very, I don't think we always are quite as fortunate as Susan to receive a dream that is so vivid and happened when we were so young, but there would be no doubt that that would be a past life dream. Now, you had mentioned, James, that you felt that was healing. So what would you feel, do you feel that that would be the case with Susan? And Susan, what did you feel perhaps after? Did you feel after the dream, did you feel a sense of relief, or was there any emotion after? Were you just accepting of it?
As a small child, I just assumed that was just me before, you know, unknowingly, you know, just assuming. But it, as an adult, you know, you kind of sit in the corner every so often going, hmm. So when I started going on online, I was asking people who I was hoping knew, and they said, if you're that young and you're having that kind of a dream, that probably was a past life, and that's how you died.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And in terms, from a healing perspective, you know, we are, especially with something so traumatic, I absolutely believe that there, that either it was healing for then or it's healing for now. I mean, you know, I personally feel as the spirit is saying that this is something that had to be resolved in your subconscious. And at that age, at that age of 4 years old, it was something that was resolved in your subconscious. It was a way for you to resolve the tragedy of the ending. And even you said, which I find is really interesting, you just accepted it as that's what happened before. And I think that it was almost a way for you to process what had happened without carrying it with you for the rest of your life.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And I really feel Spirit tells me that you have already dealt with it. Like, it is something that at 4 years old, the wisdom that you have within you decided that it was just time to deal with that tragedy. And you did, and you moved on.
So it's kind of interesting when you talk to other people and you say, you know, you tell them this and they look at you funny. I go, well, you believe whatever you want to believe. I just know my truth.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's important. It is your truth. And it is valid. It's absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I really feel, especially with, you know, we have a lot of, what when were you born? What year were you born?
59.
59? Okay.
Yep.
You know, I get a sense that you are naturally or organically intuitive, but you're intuitive in such a way that you're like, you can empathically heal people. So one of the things that I can tell about just, and this even shows up in your dream, it's why that you had to have that dream. Because people come into your life almost like they're broken, and then, you know, you're able to bring that back into balance. And that was even reflected, that's part of your life mission now. It was even reflected when you were 4 years old, that you brought that situation back into balance. I mean, the one difficult thing about that is you probably have had some pretty interesting characters come into your life, but know that's because you bring things into balance naturally. And that's one of the things you can glean from that particular experience, even as a child, and that you have, you know, you have a greater psychic or greater natural understanding of those things.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I would just, Susan, I would like to add quickly, my feeling on that is that, not that I disagree with James, I do actually agree with him, but what I would add to that is that what I'm being shown is one of the reasons why you had that dream is, and you had it in this life and you had it at an early age, because there was so much trauma and tragedy associated with that life and that ending, it was a reminder to you that there are other chances, there are other times, there is other lives. And so you were given that. I feel that was somewhat of a gift that you were given so that you could compare. So by remembering, because sometimes the only way that we can learn or we can grow is by comparison, by seeing, you know, I've said this on many occasions, if there were no darkness, it would be difficult to recognize our lack of light, is a better way to put it. We can't see one without the other. So I feel that in part is why you had that dream and you had it at such a young age, because for whatever reason, it feels to me that you were perhaps not quite ready and not understanding of that maybe was not the way it was originally planned in that prior life. And so that dream, that I would call that a little bit of residual past life feeding over, but to a sense of a positive affirmation of the life that you have now. And what I would say is that although you may, some people may really love you and just adore you, and some people just totally don't get you, but you have learned to take risks and live life to the fullest. And if you make mistakes, you say, oh, well, too bad. I guess I'll just do something different until it's right. So I feel that dream was, to me, it's being shown as a gift to you. And I think that you're very blessed, because I don't think many of us are given such a lucrative and such a very, I mean, like, to me, a no-brainer past life dream. So that's amazing. I appreciate you sharing that with us, Susan.
You're welcome. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I've known Susan for years.
And years and years.
Years and years.
Since
my Planet Stars Day. Yeah, I've known her a long time. But I do have another caller.
Okay, great.
And thank you for coming, Susan. Call in again, Susan. Come see us again, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay, honey. Okay, much love to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, I've
Hello.
Got Kara on the line right now, and she has a couple of questions for you, Stars Maya Moon and Stars James. So whoever wants to go ahead first, why don't you just ask your question, Kara?
Okay. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Kara.
Hi. Missed you. I had a question about a dream I've had a few times over the past month or so. I wake up very frantic, and in this dream, I'm in a large space with a large group of people. I mean, there's maybe 100 of us, and everyone's faceless. I don't know who these people are, but we're having a really good time hanging out, dancing, mingling, and the space starts to fill up with water. And along with that, someone notices that there is an exposed wire, and we're all about to get electrocuted. And then this person, who I've seen a few times as a man and a few times as a woman, but again is faceless, comes in, lifts the wire up, and we're all safe. And, you know, my description of it only took a few minutes, but we're talking about a really long dream. It feels like real time. And I wake up and I'm dripping with sweat because I'm so afraid. And I'm not afraid of water. I mean, I try to play it safe in Lake Michigan, and everybody's aware of electricity, but I wondered what that means. I mean, it freaks me out, and it's happened 4, maybe 5 times, the same sequence of events every time.
So so it's a repetitive dream, and it's been repetitive for approximately how long?
4 weeks, maybe 6.
Okay, so we're talking weeks, not years.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Fortunately, I don't have any that have taken that long. But
okay. So just to repeat back to you so I understand. So you're in a room filled with people that don't have faces, but you're comfortable and you're enjoying their company and you're interacting and mingling, and it's a positive experience until water starts rushing into the room, which it, there's a fear of drowning because the water is coming.
Right.
And then this person that has a familiar feeling that is sometimes a male and sometimes a female but seems familiar to you in the dream finds a wire which would indicate not only now are you in danger of drowning but also being electrocuted. And this person somehow manages to stop these catastrophes from occurring. And so when that happens, how does that dream then end? Once they've located this live wire, does the water recede or does everyone just exit the room?
I don't know. I just
know
that's
we're all breathing in relief. A collective sigh of relief.
Okay.
I don't know that I've seen the end.
Okay.
I guess
okay,
I
fair enough.
End, but you make a good point.
And the dream is, you said you wake up sweating. So the dream, the emotion that you have when you wake from this dream is, you would describe it as being a very close brush with death. You feel
yeah.
like you were.
And one of the times I thought I actually had a bug crawling on me. And I think that's the feeling that woke me up. And I realized that it was actually sweat dripping down over my stomach. Just dripping with sweat, and I keep the air very low. It's really cool in my place overnight. So this was like fear sweat.
Okay. Well, to really fully get a full and accurate interpretation, of course, I would recommend that you come for a session to one of the experts. But quickly, I'll go ahead and give you my take just on what you've said without knowing anything about your life, and then pass it on to James to see what he has to say. And that is, there's something that's occurred in your life or that you're getting ready to, you already know in some way is about to happen, that it somehow involves a big change and a big risk. And there's a little bit of sense of, I feel some type of betrayal. Now, betrayal could be from a person. It could be, for some reason, I keep getting the feeling that this has something to do with work or career related, because you have two elements. You have water, and you made a point to say that you're not fearful of water, and then electricity and the electrocution of it, which to me is a shock. And so what I'm getting is that There's the feeling, and I would say that it's something that's coming up, or that you're just beginning to information that you've received or that you're aware of. That would be like knowing your like just an example. I'm not saying this is the case with you, but companies that close and tell everybody, okay, well you've got 6 weeks and then we're closing down. That's the feeling I get, that there's a big shift coming. And even though on the one hand you're having a good time and you feel trusting of all these people and you're enjoying them even though you don't see their faces, there's also, you realize that even within that pleasure and that ability to interact, you realize that there's the potential for danger and for something life-threatening. So I do feel that something is going on with you that you feel is threatening your survival. And it may not be literal survival, but there's a feeling of betrayal and of coming close to losing something or being shifted from the life that you've been living into a different life. So does that make any sense with what your life is right now?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Well, let's turn it over and see what James has to say.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, and I actually, I agree with I agree with just about everything what she says. I think what I would add to that, and what I was getting from Spirit about this, is that a lot of the transition, and I mean, I have an unfair advantage, you're a friend of mine, but I feel as though a lot of the major transition is over. Water, to me, always, and it's kind of a universal symbol of like emotions, especially when waters are rising. And what I was getting from Spirit about the situation is that there is an underlining fear or an underlining anxiety that the emotions almost have to take over before you can find your way or you can find healing. So, for example, you don't have to have a nervous breakdown to make a positive change is kind of what I was getting from the dream as you were telling me. The dream that you were having, I really felt like the Spirit was saying that about your situation is that you have the option to change. And so especially with you waking up with sweat on you and things of that nature, I really feel like that's more of what it's about. And I really like that this faceless, no gender, person picks up the wire and says, okay, no, we're not adding power. We don't need to add power. We don't need to intensify and do damage. We can just simply deal with the emotion that's there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like the rescuer at the end. The rescuer is my favorite part. But.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of it has to do with, letting go of the fear that you need. You don't need negativity to be a catalyst for change. You can accept change the way that it is. You can step into positive change without any negative catalyst. You don't need that, I guess, is what I'm getting from it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, James. Go ahead. Well, I just wanted to add that my feeling also is that this faceless person, the reason why they're gender is changing and they're faceless is because really that's you're projecting you. That's you
right.
That's actually saving.
Well, and that's something that I've realized. I have been extremely anxious. I have a very high pressure job and we're going through a sales transition. I've been very, very fretful and I actually tried to leave the position a few weeks ago. I was begged to stay and in the area I'm in, I didn't really have an option. And then last week I got an email saying, hey, if you don't do these 5 million things better, you're going to get fired. So I'm like, make up your mind. And the sale is happening tomorrow. And I kind of went, c'est la vie. And I threw my hands up and said, I'm just going to do the best I can because that's all I can do. And at the end of the day, that's all we can do.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you will save yourself. Remember
right.
that. Remember
exactly.
that when you go to bed, I would suggest that you ask that this would be my suggestion that you say that I'm embracing the message that I'm receiving and I'm asking that it not be repeated because it feels a little bit too intense. I don't think that you need it anymore. And also say that I'm going to recognize myself as the person that creates this rescue or creates this way out or stops this second catalyst from electrocuting everyone, that you have everything that you need. You have all the power and all the tools and everything that you need to save not only the other people, but most especially yourself, and you do.
Yeah.
And so just know that no matter what path you go along, you're going to be okay. You are.
I've
and the good news about that dream is nobody's electrocuted. I think that's a brilliant dynamic of the dream,
Yeah. Well, and I've been checking my horoscope regularly, and it always on career says, you have the power within you to make a positive change. And I have so many employees that I'm concerned about. I mean, one lady going off to get a different job, okay. Not great, but I can do that. But thinking about my 100-something employees is like, it's a lot.
Right.
Because I care about them. I mean, their mom, their dad, they need to eat. And I have a really small apartment, so I don't know where I put them all. But, you've been here. It's not that big. But knowing that in the end, the sun still comes up and the kids are still hungry every day, I think, okay, life is just going to go on. And I know that I can. I've already been making a positive change. So I'm just going to stay on that path and hopefully not wake up so sweaty anymore.
That'd be lovely, huh?
I know. It's like, why shower before bed? It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I really like Maya's advice about, you know, saying that you don't need to add the stress to your sleeping time or your recovery time from your day as well.
It's my sleeping time. I would like it to be nice. I don't even go potty by myself.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. I'd like to call again sometime.
Absolutely. Well,
sure.
Thank you, Karen. You're always welcome.
I love you, Jimmy. I miss you.
I miss you, too, and I love you, too, and I will talk to you later.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
yep. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute. She calls you Jimmy. I like that. I think. Oh, I'm sorry, James. Now it's over for you. You're Jimmy.
I've known him since he was a kid. So.
Hey, I've watched your.
Yeah,
I've
that's
your
okay.
Diaper,
that,
so.
When he was a little boy, he was Jimmy.
He watches my
awesome.
Children when he stays with his mom. P.S. I fed your mom pizza tonight. He came over, so it was amazing that I heard from you when I did, because she was at my house and we were talking about you. So you must have felt it. All right.
That's nice. Well, thank you for calling.
Please
in.
Please call again. You're a delight.
Have a great night. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you of my dream, and I talked to Maya about this, but now I know what it meant. I dreamt of two babies, two different babies that were presented, like, to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Maya, I just found out, and I don't know if this could be one of them, but my nephew just got engaged. It was something being handed to me. Is that possible? I mean, what do you think? I mean, I'm just throwing this in so that we have something else to talk about, but it was two babies. And when I was talking to Maya about it, I said, well, to me it's like two things brand new, two
Absolutely.
Events. I'm presenting you with this one, and then I'm presenting you with that one. Not necessarily for me personally, but in my life indirectly maybe, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were they twins,
think,
or were they just two babies?
No, two babies, two different babies.
Okay.
I really didn't see their faces or anything, but there were two babies. And I wasn't in a hospital. I don't even know what the setting was, but I just remember when I woke up, and I thought, oh, that's got to be two of something for me.
All you think of is like Lion King, Jambalaya, you know, like new beginning. That's what that means.
Yeah. Maya, what do you think? Do you think that my nephew getting engaged had something to do with it?
Honestly, I don't.
Okay.
I think the dream was really just personal. I explained with you, I think it's just. I know we just did a show, and a lot of people don't believe that there is anything such as coincidence. I just think it just happens to be something that occurred. And that doesn't mean that I'm right or I'm wrong, but, you know, I shared with you what I felt it meant, and
yes.
I don't really think getting the news of your nephew being engaged, I don't see how that is really going to shift your life in any one direction, one way or the other.
Exactly. But so it wasn't an announcement of anything. I mean, I used to be really close to him and his sister, and I mean, of course, now I'm not, they don't talk to me, but anyways, I just got news of it, so I thought that was kind of odd.
Well,
so anyway,
that's all I wanted to say.
I mean,
and I have a dream that a client wanted me to, if we have time. I know we're getting close to the end, that she wanted me to throw out there, so I thought I would do that, but let's see what James...
Yes, go ahead.
I actually do feel like it is new things. I mean, birth or babies, usually, I mean, and the archetypal, you know, idea of babies is that they do represent new things coming, you know, that new, I mean, I would probably want to hear more of what was the events surrounding the dreams, or was it just two babies? Is that all you dreamt about?
Yeah, they didn't come at the same time. They were like, one part of the dream, there was a baby, and then I was kind of surprised because then there was another one. You know,
okay.
So I don't know.
But there were more details associated with the dream?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
But I'm the one that always gets the phone to ring once, remember? And my phone isn't ringing. But that's, and I'm in that point where you, just before you wake up, you kind of know what's going on, And I used to go reach for the phone, but now I know I'll just, because we figure it's my husband, I'll say, good morning, Louie. You know, I just kind of say something back now because I figure it's him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I kind of felt like what I was feeling with it, and what, you know, what Spirit was saying to me is, and it could, and sometimes dreams have multiple meanings, but I felt like it was two new things coming associated with your business, not necessarily associated with,
yeah.
So I wasn't, I was going to say, I didn't really feel as though it was directly related to this engagement. I really felt like it was more associated with, that's why I was asking you if there were any details surrounding the dream, because that's really
what
I was getting.
Yeah, they were newborns, and they were wrapped in like a receiving blanket. I can't even see the colors, but they were light. The colors were light, and it was like this little bundle of joy being handed to me twice.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of that. That's pretty good, huh? Huh? Oh. Bundle of
well,
joy.
I would receive bundles of joy. That's definitely a good thing. That's always a good thing. So what
yes.
was the other dream, Maya? You said you had another dream.
Well, I had a client, and she gave me permission, and I just wanted, I've kind of given my, and I won't mention her name, so we keep her information confidential. But it's a dream that she's had a lot more recently, but it's a reoccurring dream that she's had for as long as she can remember. And although, so, as we talked about, some of the different scenarios of the dream change, the crux of the dream is that she is constantly, someone is either trying to steal her money or her purse, and her purse seems to be the focus, and it's usually someone that is entering her house. Sometimes it's a family member, and it's not a family member that she would normally associate with stealing. So it's not as if she has, her family is a bunch of hoodlums. But I told her what I felt, especially she's going through. I will tell you that there's a lot of transitions that she's been going through right now. But I thought I would bring it up. I'm happy to share what I felt it represented, but I was just curious, and so I said that I would mention that and just see what you thought about that, what came to mind.
Okay, I just want to ask this just to make sure I understand. You said it was a family member or wasn't a family member, or just total stranger coming in to her house?
Well, sometimes... It's almost always, though, the things that are repetitive in the dreams are that the person always comes into her home or is in her home and is trying to take her purse or her money, which is where she keeps her money. And she doesn't have a lot of money, but she's not poor either. So I'm just trying to give you a little bit of background.
I don't feel, I don't feel like the major issue here is money. I feel like it's more personal security. That's what I'm getting from it, rather than it being her actual currency that's being taken. It's almost like that someone would come in and take advantage of her, maybe not, I mean, you know, not sexually, but take advantage of her power, taking her personal power, taking her time in a negative way where she feels vulnerable that she almost feels obligated to do so. Coming into her house, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's hard because I'm not talking to her, you know, somebody coming into the house it's almost like where she feels violated,
I agree. That's an invasive feeling to know, even if it's a family member, if we're not expecting them and they're kind of sneaking into our house. I agree. Mm-hmm. That's an invasive type of feeling. So that's not a welcome feeling.
Right.
And again, it's not associated with, like a delinquent or a particular person. And sometimes it's just someone random, even to the point where it's woken her or awakened her from sleep, and she's felt the need to check. Now, I saw something a little bit different, but I do tend to agree with you. So is there anything that you want to add? And then I'll just quickly say what I felt this might be about.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, that's kind of what I was getting.
Okay, I agree with you that I felt it really had nothing to do with financial security or the loss of her finances. What I felt it was is that she has not completed, arrested development, or, you know, there's a psychological term for when we become, we have identity issues that we haven't fully come to the potential of our identity. And that's what I felt this dream represented, is that that people were coming in, and because they were invading her house, I felt that it had to do with her identity and her ability to be more open and trusting and more connected universally to the world and to herself. I felt that she cut herself off, and therefore she was staging these, she was almost manifesting or staging these where someone's breaking in and taking her money. They're not trying to hurt her. They're just, you know, sneaking in. So that's what I get out of it. I felt it was connected to her identity, and that maybe that she needed to work on creating a stronger identity so that it wouldn't be stolen from her. So that's it. You had some good insights. And if she isn't listening, I will be sure to share that with her, what you felt, that she might be concerned that people are out to harm her or to take advantage of her in some way.
Looks like we're just about out of time, but one thing that I felt like it was almost like an anxiety that she was vulnerable to outside. And you mentioned one thing that really hit the nail on the head with what I was feeling. I do feel like it is a trust issue, that underlining anxiety or that particular issue is keeping her from being able to be her complete self. So I absolutely agree with that as well.
Okay, good. I'm glad that I was able to bring that up, because I think it's important, and I think she will appreciate you sharing that and your feelings. And also, I think that's good for all of our listeners. I know we're closing the show, but it's good to see that that's a dream that we took one thing, which was money and someone entering our homes. And as you can see, James and I both were pretty much matched. We each added a little something, but we had very similar takes on it. And actually, the result was the dream had nothing to do with money or finances, which is why dreams cannot be taken in their literal sense. Very rarely, I feel, is a dream literal.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, I guess, sweet dreams.
Yeah, I extended the show just a little bit, so you can do your closings if you like. I left it go over. I just extended the show, so we're still recording. So,
well, I think what I need to say is, you know, I love you all. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. And it's actually been a lot of fun. So this was a great show.
I ditto that. It has been. I appreciate our callers. I think they really added, and I hope that we see more callers in the future. Even if we're not doing dreams, we're interested in your take. And, you know, pay attention. James and I gave some valuable information, using your phone to record, buying a little recorder, especially if you're having dreams like some of our callers did. The one caller having the repetitive dream, that definitely would be good. And then seek assistance. It's just like if you have a bad pain in your shoulder, or you know, your leg or your foot swells up, you're going to go see a physician. And so I believe the same to be true of spiritual counseling and spiritual advisors. We have a wonderful service, and STARS, of course, is the best of the best. So if dreams or a dream is something that is disturbing and you've been unable to decipher the code, or figure out anytime we're disturbed or anxious about something, that's a sign. If it doesn't resolve itself within a few days or a week, that's a good time to seek the help of a professional, and I know that we have the best of the best. So love to everyone, and I really do mean it. I hope you all have good dreams, and you enjoy the rest of your evening. And, yes, it was a great show, and I enjoyed. Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, with that, we're going to close out. And it looks like next week we're supposed to have a show, Why Are We Here? The Purpose of Life. I believe that's next on our agenda. And, of course, we wish you a great week and hope everybody smiles and gets to do all the things that they want to do. I know it's really hot here in South Carolina, and it probably is all over the place. And I want to tell Maya Moon and James how much I love them very much. The show just goes so nice, and we do have listeners after because I heard about it this past week. So this is a good thing. But it's nice to have callers, and I wish everybody would call in. They should take advantage of this because I have some great talent here. And, of course, I want to thank Candy. She's the one that promotes all over the place. I always say to her, Candy, work your magic. And she's posting here and on Twitter and everywhere she can post. And, you know, that's a great help to all of us. So, okay, with that, I'm going to close the show out and have something to eat and enjoy my evening. And I love you, Maya Moon, and I love you, James and Candy. Okay, see you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Love you,
okay.
Too. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye.